This is Jay Sekulow, a crisis at the border.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The port of entry in San Ysidro, California, now reopened after yesterday's chaotic scene forced the nation's busiest border crossing to shut down for several hours. Migrants overwhelming federal and local police.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
42 crossed the border and were arrested. To be completely frank, there were numerous people that actually made it across the border. We're in the process of building the new border wall here, but we don't have it completed. There were some sections that had the dilapidated border wall that was made out of a scrap metal the military gave us. The group breached a couple sections of that, actually tore down one small section, started to rush across, and that's another time that they started assaulting our agents. We were able to hold them back using riot techniques.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
There is a crisis brewing on the southern border. You're seeing that, of course, on the media. But let me read something to you from a time period a couple years ago. Quote, the threat has been recognized on a bipartisan basis. Just 2 years ago, President Barack Obama's DHS Secretary, Jay Johnson, had become so concerned about special interest alien travel, that's what he called it, over the southern border, that he ordered a massive intelligence community-wide initiative to counter the migrants as, quote, potential national security threats to our homeland. That it was from Jay Johnson during President Obama's administration. So now what you have right now, and it's a large number, it looks like it's 5,000 to 7,000 people approaching the border, crashing the border is what the approach was. One person was who was involved in the caravan said, people had thought they were going to open gates, but that was a lie. She said then, well, we thought it would be much easier. Well, the president the country cannot allow 5,000 people to just walk into the United States. I mean, that's not how it works. I mean, my grandfather was an immigrant. You came to Ellis Island. There was an orderly process on how you were administered. Now, we've said to avoid the confrontation on the border. Because if 80% of the people or 90% of the people have good intentions, but 10% of 5,000 people have bad intentions, 500 people, you're setting yourself up for a real crisis, a real problem. And you don't want to take that kind of risk. And it's also putting our entire immigration and asylum system at risk. You remember, asylum is available for through an asylum issue, there has to be persecution based on race, religion, that kind of national origin, not an economic one. Jordan, go ahead.
No, I think that this soundbite from Carla Provost, she is the U.S. Border Patrol chief, is very telling about just how many people our Border Patrol is dealing with right now. This was a much higher number than was expected. Remember, many people thought this would disperse and just end up being in the hundreds, maybe 1,000 people. Listen to this. This is the official U.S. report on the numbers at our border right now through these caravans, Bite 4.
We have quite a few members of the caravan that have already arrived to the border in California, approximately 6,000 in the Tijuana area and another 2,000 in the Mexicali area. And there are more on their way.
That's 8,000 people with more on the way. And so in two different border locations. So this riot that broke out is what is known and more well known as Tijuana, but it's again, it's the border crossing is the San Ysidro border crossing into California.
The mayor of Tijuana, Mexico, said, I will not allow our binational relationship to be fractured by the bad behavior of the migrant caravan. They are doing things out of law. We are affected at the border crossing. Many Tijuanese, they work, study, and visit the United States in a healthy peace. So, Harry, you got the mayor of Tijuana saying this is a serious problem for the Mexican government as well.
Absolutely. I think all rational individuals recognize that we have a serious problem at the border and we need to take affirmative steps to deal with it, consistent with our values, consistent with the Constitution, and consistent with the president's statutory authority.
So the one big issue is, will the president have to close the border on a temporary basis for longer than just a period of a few hours like was done this weekend? Two, we have a budget showdown coming up. Congress has only approved $1.6 billion for the wall. The president wants $5 billion, a third of the budget for the wall. And he's threatened not to sign it, which would cause a government shutdown. That's all happening in the next 2 weeks. So two major issues here.
All right, we'll take your calls on all this. Should the president shut the border down if necessary? 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Back with more.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. What do you think the president should do? We sure want to get your opinion on this on our southern border. Here's what happened. The caravan began on October 13th in Honduras, passed through Guatemala before entering Mexico on the way to the United States. The president has threatened to shut down the U.S. border with Mexico on a permanent basis while this crisis is going on. He called on Congress to fund the border wall, declaring the caravan is not coming into the USA. The truth of the matter is that there's also a significant policy issue here, and that is, how do you engage a situation like this? And I'm going to go to our director of policy, Professor Harry Hutchison, to get some impact. We've been advocating since the beginning that trying to work with the Mexican government on a bilateral basis so that we can have a situation where you can avoid the confrontation.
Absolutely. So I think bilateral negotiations are indeed the first step, but also consistent with that, we should note the president's statutory authority under the Immigration Naturalization Act, Section 2112F, allows the president, whenever he finds that the entry of any alien or of any class of aliens into the United States would be detrimental to the interest of the United States, to suspend all forms of immigration for such period as he shall deem necessary. This gives the president additional negotiating leverage with the Mexican authorities. Secondly, I would note that the Mexican governments, particularly in Tijuana, but elsewhere, they are increasingly frustrated by these caravans because many of the caravanners are causing trouble within Mexico. And so I think one of the things that we need to focus on is stopping the caravan before it starts at the Mexican border with other Central American countries. This should be the focal point of U.S. negotiating policy going forward with the Mexican government.
I want to point out again that the mayor of Tijuana has said in a tweet that I will not allow our binational relationship, that's between the United States and Mexico, specifically Tijuana, because they have a lot of going back and forth, a relationship to be fractured by the bad behavior of the migrant caravan. They're doing things out of law. We are affected at the border crossing. Many of his citizens work, study, and visit the United States in a healthy way, and they want peace. So this is not good for the Mexican government either, and they're trying to work through this. We want to know what your thoughts are and your the supporting of the president's threat here to actually close down the border if this is not rectified. And Harry gave you the statutory basis upon which the president can act. There's a constitutional basis inherent as the commander-in-chief. You have the right to protect our national security. It was Jay Johnson, after all, the president, Barack Obama's DHS secretary, that had a intelligence community-wide initiative to counter the migrants at that time as, quote, potential national security threats to our homeland. That was Jay Johnson's words. So this is not, you know, people are saying, oh, I can't believe the president's being so aggressive on this. Other presidents have been aggressive on this because you've got a lawless situation going on.
Yeah, and
here.
This, we're not talking about Mexican immigrants here, too. I think it's very important to point out this is not these are not immigrants from Mexico. As more, I think that becomes more politically charged. It's Central American, mostly, unfortunately, coming from bad economic situations, but not situations, for the most part, that would qualify for asylum. And in fact, it's very difficult to qualify for asylum. You have to be able to prove it with paperwork, prove that you're under a real physical threat of violence and death because of who you are, based off a series of identifiers, your race, your gender, your religion, your nationality, and again, or, you know, gang violence, that kind of thing. You've got to be able to prove that to an asylum court and get through the first asylum interview even before you get to a court. What I'm concerned about most here, and I want to get people's thoughts on it, 1-800-684-3110, is we could talk about what needs to be done to prevent the next wave. But when the head of Border Patrol, the chief, says that you've got 6,000 at least in Tijuana and 2,000 in Mexicali, that is 8,000 who have now reached the border. So we can talk all we want about how we can keep them away from reaching the border, and that is certainly a policy we've got to figure out and work with Mexico to do so, because that's got to happen within Mexican sovereign territory. But we now have, within a two-hour drive, 8,000 migrants. I just did the Google Maps. So between Mexicali and Tijuana, 8,000 migrants, but they're huddled together, 6,000 in Tijuana, 2,000 in Mexicali. And as our Border Patrol chief, she said, more to come. So again, let's go right to the phones at 1-800-684-3110. Bonnie is calling in from Minnesota on line 3. Bonnie, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Bonnie.
Thank you. Hi.
We had a little prelude music there from Harry Hutchinson's phone, but that's okay. Go ahead. You're on, Bonnie.
Okay. Nice. I think the president should shut down the border to keep America safe, and he does have the authority.
Well, he clearly has a statutory authority, and I think the constitutional authority as well. The question is, on a policy standpoint, does that get you there? I think that's, you know, kind of question one.
Yeah, there's economic issues, for one. I mean, you don't shutting it down to individuals trying to cross, but you want to shut down all traffic, including trade, businesses. I mean, you've got...
Yeah, so it's not that, easy of a...
You have people that have visas that where they're allowed to come in each day and work and then return.
Yeah, and go to school.
Yeah, and go to school. So here, let me go through like a few examples of when this has happened. So in 1985, the administration then closed the San Diego border crossing after there was a kidnapping of a DEA agent. So they did it. They just closed the crossing. The president temporarily closed the crossing this weekend. It reopened by the next morning to traffic, but he closed it to traffic, to individuals. So that means goods, services, all of that was prevented from crossing. President George W. Bush partially closed the southern border and then started requiring the inspection of every vehicle post 9/11. There is executive action now under consideration that would give the administration more discretion. And one proposal is to restrict asylum status to migrants from certain countries. Again, that would all be litigated. But there is certainly precedent for temporary border closings. And that's all when the president says he's going to close the border, he doesn't want to do so indefinitely. It's all going to be on a temporary basis. It's how long can you do it temporarily? And to what extent? Like, are you really saying you're not going to allow the 18-wheelers that are bringing in goods and services to come through? That did stop last night for a period of time, but it reopened.
But here's what the left's argument's going to be, Harry, that this is impacting asylum seekers.
Absolutely. And there's very little evidence that it will have a substantial impact on asylum seekers for the following reasons. Number one, most of these individuals are not asylum seekers, and they are economic migrants. In other words, they're looking for work because the economic situation in Honduras and Guatemala and elsewhere, those situations are horrible. Number two, the president clearly has authority to protect U.S. sovereignty irrespective of what people claim with respect to so-called asylum seekers. So there's a greater threat, I would argue, that the border would be penetrated by individuals from the Middle East, from Syria, Iraq, Bangladesh, you name it. Why are those individuals coming up through Central America And if we go back over the last 4, 5, 6, 7 years, we have clear evidence on the ground that individuals have indeed been apprehended coming even from Somalia.
Yep.
So I think there are problems with the claim that these individuals are simply asylum seekers. There's a very high bar for claiming asylum. You must demonstrate persecution on the basis of race or sex or religion. And many of these individuals have no intention of focusing on that. They simply believe they have the inherent right to enter the United States in part because they are sponsored by an American organization in San Francisco, People Without Borders. People Without Borders represents an ideological group that is at variance to the American interest.
Yeah, so that gives you kind of the facts behind what this is. You want to try to grab a call here?
Yeah, Gray in North Carolina, online one. Gray, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Gray, you're on the air.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Sure.
Hey, I grew up in Imperial Beach, and I went to parochial schools, and a lot of the kids that were in the schools, they lived in Tijuana. They were residents of there. And this thing is, I mean, I believe in protecting the borders, but this thing that's happening is just ruining it for so many people that are trying to do things legally.
I think that's, you're exactly right. I mean, the relationship between the mayor of Tijuana and the United States and the towns that are close on our U.S. border, San Diego, others, has been very good, very strong. Trade going back, and that's what Jordan says. You close the border, tourism. You're impacting tourism and trade. I mean, a lot of tourists that go into San Diego and
Listen, I know a lot of Southern, my wife is from Southern California. A lot of her friends and families, her parents have vacation homes and condos in Mexico on, because it's lower cost and you can, it's beautiful on that side of the Pacific coast. And I mean, it's a usually would just be a few hour drive, very safe, very protected. Very far away from the rest of Mexico.
All of
so it affects that. It affects, obviously, the biggest is the economic. And when you're shutting down completely, you're stopping the trucks that have the goods from moving from place to place. And that's not sustainable for our economy and certainly not for Mexico's.
All right, we're taking a break. When we come back, we're going to take your calls. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Your reaction to this, especially if you live in California, what's your reaction to this? If you're in San Diego or that area, we'd sure love to hear from you on the border anyways. I mean, we'd like to kind of get your sense of it, and we'll take your calls at 800-684-3110. Also, last few days of our matching challenge campaign for the month of November for the ACLJ, we could really use your help. Let me encourage you to go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Great way for you to stand with us around the, not only in the United States, but around the globe. ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. Back with more, including your calls in just a moment.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Our Facebook audience just heard this, but I think it's important for our radio audience to hear it as well, and that is, this is not the first administration that has been faced with this kind of situation. Jay Johnson is the DHS director under President Obama, called it a national security interest, threat to national security, when you had a similar type of situation. And Jordan, you raised just moments ago that, and we're, you know, there's all these complaints about what the president might or may not do, but meanwhile, President Obama used tear gas.
Yeah, that's right. 2013 ordered tear gas used on a similar type of caravan. Riots occurred, so non-lethal force was used to protect our Border Patrol agents and our border. The border has been closed temporarily by different presidents a number of times, going back to the 1980s, and I'm sure before that as well. But for lesser reasons than, by the way, 5,000-6,000 people rushing the border. I mean, that you understand the chaos theory here that these groups are operating under, I guarantee, under in Oakland, California. They're using the Hamas theory, the Palestinian Authority theory. You cause the chaos at the border. You start getting shots fired. You don't know which side fired first. Maybe someone gets killed, like a woman or a child. And suddenly, the debate changes. We don't want to get to that situation. We want to be able to protect the sovereignty of our border. Mexico doesn't need to get in that situation because these aren't Mexicans. So they'd be, again, they are caught up in the middle of it. I mean, they are right there walking right amongst this group. You got the federales are dealing with this group throwing rocks at them too. And they don't have yet the support of their military yet. They have not been there's a new administration coming in Mexico. There's this report that a deal will be struck that will allow asylum seekers to stay in Mexico and have their initial claims processed there. The Mexican government is saying no, but that's the current Mexican government. There's a new Mexican government that will be coming in.
On Saturday, I think.
Yeah, I mean, so again, I think the president's doing everything possible to allow actual asylum seekers their due process rights and to go through that process, but
not risk the run on the border, which is what this is.
If you're applying for asylum, you're not throwing rocks at Border Patrol agents. You're begging them. You're running away from murder. So the moment you take the rock in your hand, or you're acting like a political protester.
Yeah,
you're acting like a violent, like an anarchist type. Like a World Trade Organization protester. That is not an asylum seeker. So I could, right there, you could start deciding based off, if you were a judge, that would be it. If you were the initial incoming person that took the asylum application, the agent, and they asked you and you replied honestly that you threw rocks, you got violent, you're thrown out. Your claim is out because you're not really seeking asylum if you would take violent action against the country that you're seeking asylum in. The country that you're telling everyone is going to be your safe haven. So I think it is much easier to determine who is and who is not legitimate once the chaos subsides. And I think it's important that the chaos must subside. You want to go back to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. Steve in California in Los Angeles on line 6. Steve, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you for having me, fellas.
Thanks, Steve.
Just wanted to point out, along the lines of what Harry Hutchins said, the 500 that got through, they're the ones we really got to look out for because they're the ones that don't have much good going on, and they need to get across on an illegal level. So, you know, they're just going to bring crime to our streets. I live in Los Angeles. I see it. We used to do big bicycle rides, and they'd hide in our group, and they'd steal from places we'd go to, and just really tough to take care of that real issue,
Harry. There isn't a process. If someone is seeking asylum, there's actually a constitutional process.
Absolutely. And they must demonstrate that they are under threat because of race, religion, or gender. In addition, I would point out that many of the migrants are clearly not seeking asylum because the first country they came to, which was Mexico, would provide them with the opportunity to claim asylum. But many of these migrants have passed up that opportunity. They simply want to get to the United States in part because the economic opportunities in the United States, from their perspective, are far greater than the economic opportunities in Mexico. So one of the first questions a good judge, immigration judge, should ask any of these individuals who are apprehended is, why didn't you apply for asylum when you first entered Mexico, some 1,500 miles from the U.S. border? That's the question.
So I just got a text or an email from Than Bennett, our director of governmental affairs, who's in Washington in meetings on this topic right now. And he said, it looks like there's real serious negotiations going right to them. The president is pushing for full border wall funding and a fix to the broken asylum laws. Both sides are pretty dug in, though, so it could get interesting. He said, obviously, with the Democrats taking over the House in January, so on the one hand, they have less incentive to negotiate it, but on the other hand, they might not want to have to deal with this right out of the gate politically.
Yeah politically, as if these caravans could, if this continues. I mean, we just got a question in that came in on Facebook, and I think it's we can answer it with a sound. Ellen Taylor writes in, is it true that members of the caravan are throwing bottles and rocks as their weapons? Ainsley Ann Earhart asked Carly Provost, the U.S. Border Patrol chief, the exact question about the decision to fire off the tear gas. Take a listen about why Border Patrol, and Ellen, it will answer your question from the U.S. government. Bite five.
Tell us why you made the decision to fire off that tear gas.
Our agents were being assaulted. A large group rushed the area, and they were throwing rocks and bottles at my men and women, putting them in harm's way, as well as other members of the caravan. We needed to disperse the group, and with that assaultive nature, it was imperative that we disperse them from the area.
So that's normal law enforcement protocol. But understand, as I think Harry and Jordan both have said now, a normal asylum seeker is not picking up rocks and stones and throwing them at the border agents when they're trying to seek asylum.
In that country. The border agents of the country that they're supposedly need the asylum
protection
from. And they're going to start by it. Their first act is going to be to attack a law enforcement agent in that country. You will never get it. Even if you had a good asylum claim, that alone would throw you out. That act of violence would throw you. So even if you had an asylum claim that was accurate and good, that alone would get you kicked out of the system, that act of violence. These are not, for the most part, people seeking asylum, and certainly not those who are in these groups rushing. And again, it's put the Mexican government in a very difficult situation, their law enforcement in a tough situation, and our border patrol in a tough situation. We don't have time for this call yet. We'll take it in the second half hour. A lot of calls coming in. 1-800-684-3110.
Let me say something else here. This should not be looked at in a vacuum. I mean, there's been historical precedent here for what presidents have done in this kind of situations. Presidents, going back to President Reagan, have temporarily closed the border. President Bush, after 9/11, closed the border to make sure that the people were not infiltrating from our southern border that were doing harm in the United States. President Obama has done similar things. And we're talking about what the agents did here, Border Patrol agents did here. Under President Obama, they used tear gas to disperse crowds that were causing danger. So this is not to say that everybody in this caravan is causing danger, but it doesn't take money to cause problems. I said the mayor of Tijuana said there's a lot of lawlessness going on down here because they're in Tijuana right now and they can't handle it. So again, it's not to condemn everyone that's in this caravan. There may have been people there with good intents who were lied to and told this is just a way for you to get into the United States. But the fact is, matter, we have national security. The president has the statutory and constitutional authority to engage these issues this way, and he's doing it. Now, what that'll end up looking like, we'll find out in the hours ahead, but this is a serious conflict. We're here for another 30 minutes. If you don't get the full hour, you know, just go over to ACLJ.org or Facebook or Periscope or broadcast simulcasting there as well. So we're going to encourage you to do that. And also, don't forget our matching challenge campaign.
That's right. Matching challenge. Whatever you're able to donate to support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice is doubled. That's at ACLJ.org. You make that online donation today. Double the impact of your donations. We prepare for next year's battles, but continue this year's battles as well. That's at ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Freedom. Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The port of entry in San Ysidro, California, now reopened after yesterday's chaotic scene forced the nation's busiest border crossing to shut down for several hours. Migrants overwhelming federal and local police.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
So this is the famous caravan that began on October 13 in Honduras. It has now passed through Guatemala. It's in Mexico and Tijuana, actually, right on the border, close to the border of the United States. President Trump is threatening to shut down the U.S. border with Mexico if the migrant caravan is not deported. He called on Congress to fund his border wall, declaring that the caravan is not coming into the United States. There is those that are seeking asylum. There is an asylum system set up, but apparently people throwing stones are not seeking asylum. And that's what you've got here. So, again, this is not to disparage the entire group. I think that would not be fair. I'm sure a lot of these people came with the thinking one thing and being told one thing and finding out something else, Harry.
Absolutely. But I think one of the things that virtually all of them were told was that they had the presumptive right to enter the United States illegally.
Which they don't.
And that's the real essential problem with People Without Borders and that particular organization. They have misinformed most of these migrants, in my opinion, based on their misbehavior at the United States border.
I think that's exactly correct. All right, we're taking calls at 1-800-684-3110. Let's go right back to it, Jordan.
Carol Ann calling from California on line 5. Carol Ann, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Carol Ann.
Thank you very much for taking my call. I live in Northern California, not all that far from where the campfire was it was threatening so many people.
I'm sorry to hear that.
And but the thing is, I don't know why our governor seems to think our state has to be a sanctuary state. I don't know how we could afford to support all these people or how these people are.
What is that? And when you think about, what does that actually mean? I mean, does that mean you just let people come in? You don't check? You give a sanctuary? We're not going to check who the people are. We're not going to find out any of their background. And we're not going to find out why they're seeking access to the United States. What exactly does a sanctuary state mean? I've always wondered about that, Harry.
Well, I think one thing is clear. A sanctuary state or a sanctuary city means at least one thing, which is many of these politicians have misplaced priorities. In other words, they are more focused on helping individuals who live outside of their jurisdiction than helping the citizens of their own state or their cities. So it makes little sense to devote so many economic resources to individuals who have no legal right to remain in the United States.
By the way, there is a way for you to apply for asylum in the United States. I mean, it's not like that's an illegal motive, but this is not what this is. I mean, understand, these people were told, I think, misinformed on purpose, that you're going to get free entry to the United States.
Gates will be open, is I think
key that's
word.
The exact and word that you said.
That was incorrect information used by those who wanted to cause chaos and anarchy at the border, and they're having some success with that right now, but I think they're running into a president and administration that's not going to tolerate that.
I think this is an interesting comment. You know, if they were truly asylum seekers, they would have just walked up with their hands up and surrendered. Nope. That's not what took place. That's according to our Border Patrol. Nope. Instead, they're throwing rocks. A lot
taunting,
of them
taunting, throwing rocks, throwing bottles. One step away from a shot being fired, you know that.
That's what you want to avoid.
It's Mexico's dangerous as well. And things that could escalate. That is my biggest concern here. Is the escalation factor. It's why, as the chief of Border Patrol said, they have got to continue and disperse these crowds so that escalation doesn't continue, because that puts our individuals in peril. It also puts good policy in peril, I will tell you, if things escalate and tougher force has to be used by the United States.
President Obama utilized tear gas and necessary to disperse crowds at our border. Jay Johnson, the DHS secretary under President Obama, everybody wants to ignore this. To counter the migrants as a potential national security threat to our homeland. He said that he viewed the migrants in that particular time as a potential national security threat to our homeland. He wanted a massive intelligence community-wide initiative to counter it. So, again, this is not happening in a vacuum. Understand the politics of what's going on here. All right, we're taking a break. When we come back, we'll take your calls. Our phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. We have one line open. First time we've had a line open in a while. 1-800-684-3110. We come back from the break. More of your calls. Also, share this on Facebook and Periscope. We encourage you to do that. But also, let me encourage you in something else. We're in a matching challenge campaign at the ACLJ. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. So if you donate $20, we have someone else on our team donates another $20. That's how it works. We've got a fund that's set up for that. So ACLJ.org. Last few days of November here. We've got a big goal to reach. So ACLJ.org. We'll be back with your call.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Well, the caravan has arrived on our southern border with chaos, and the United States is trying to make sure we don't have an incident at the border. We've advocated since the beginning as a policy matter from the American Center for Law and Justice, Harry. Our policy position from the beginning has been try to do intervention in Mexico with the Mexican government assisting so that we avoid a confrontation at the border.
Absolutely, and I think that is absolutely the correct policy. And I think the administration has made some affirmative steps in that particular direction. Probably more progress is necessary. But yes, we want to avoid a confrontation, and one of the ways to do that is to ensure that we deal with the problem before the migrants attempt to cross. But in the interim, this may mean dispersing more tear gas if the border is stormed again.
Yep. Retta is calling in from New Mexico on line one. Retta, appreciate you holding on. You're now on the air.
Hi, Retta.
Thank you guys for taking my
call.
So I am, and I'm a healthcare worker in an emergency room, and when these immigrants are coming in, they are coming in not immunized, meaning they're not getting the vaccinations that we have here in America. They're putting our healthcare workers, and not only our healthcare workers, but our community in enormous amounts of danger because they do have tuberculosis, measles, chickenpox, scarlet fever, and, you know, your common strep throat and everything. And so we're placing our lives in danger. And not only that, but if you're going to come into this country, yes, we're obligated to treat you, but we would not receive the same courtesy in Mexico. And so it's just very disheartening that these people are coming here. Yes, I understand that people want to come here to better your lives, but when you come here and endanger...
But we have a way to do that in the United States. If you want to come here to better your life, there's immigration, there's if you were facing real persecution, there's asylum. That's not what this is. I'm not condemning or in any way being derogatory to the individual people involved. I'm sure there's many, many good people involved that were told the borders of the United States are going to be open, just come on in. And that's, in fact, we have quotes from people saying that, but that's not the case. Of course, that's not the case because you can't have a country when you do that. You can't have security when you do that. So you can blame the people in part. You can blame the organizers of the event out of the San Francisco Bay Area that organized this. But the fact of the matter is you have to have rules and you have to have laws. That's just the way it works. My grandfather came in. It was a system and process. Took him 14 years, by the way, to become a citizen of the United States. Came here when he was 14. He was about 29 when he became a U.S. citizen. All right, we're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Let's grab another call.
Yeah, let me just say, too, the border part of the budget part of this is coming to a head very quickly. Dan Bennett's in his government affairs meetings today, our government affairs director on Capitol Hill, and with members of Congress staff. And you've got a December 7th deadline for the federal budget. Part of that budget that was passed, the omnibus that passed in the spring, included $1.6 billion for border security. The president wants $5 billion and is threatening to veto. And, of course, now this threat at the border is just another reason why the president says $1.6 billion is not enough. We've got to get more resources. Of course, this comes in light of the fact that if you can get $5 billion in this time, great. It's going to be difficult the next time around because that Democrats are going to take the House. So you need what resources you can get. So the question will be, can House Republicans – we'll ask this of Than tomorrow when he's back on – will House Republicans and Senate Republicans be able to up this number so that real significant border security can start being put in place when it comes to wall, fence, whatever you want to call it, to protect our national sovereignty and to also protect our – Border Patrol agents, so that this kind of chaos, I mean, if you see, they can cut through the fence right now. I mean, the images are online. They can cut through, push through, and throw through the fence. So you're not really safe of what's there now, even some of the taller barriers. Yep. The barbed wire is not enough. So again, these are professional rioters leading these caravans, and they are telling the United States, they are telling reporters, that we are not the last group. We're the first group. And there'll be thousands more like us. That means, yes, the economic situation must be horrible in those countries. We know it is in Central America right now and very dangerous with groups like MS-13 and others. We can't have that in our country, though. And Mexico doesn't want that either. These are things that need to be dealt with. Well, as Honduran's president has said, the Honduran president has said, we need to do more to stop these caravans.
They don't want a bilateral problem. I mean, they don't want a bilateral. Mexico has, now they got the trade pact worked out.
Yep.
That's kind of hairy. The last thing that the Mexican government authorities want right now is to interfere with the trade deal that's now been renegotiated.
Absolutely. So even a temporary border shutdown adversely affects trade between Mexico and the United States. What are we talking about? We're talking about a legal trade deal. One that has been approved and hopefully will be ratified down the road by the U.S. Congress. But currently, the United States and Mexico operate under the rules of the game provided by NAFTA. And this deal, NAFTA provides huge benefits to the Mexican economy, to the Mexican government. And clearly, the last thing they want is to interfere with that. And I think the migrants are doing that, and so this is a bilateral problem, and it needs to be solved ultimately at the Mexican border with Guatemala.
Let's go ahead and take another phone call at 1-800-684-3110. Who's next, Jordan?
Yeah, Sharon in Virginia on line three. Sharon, welcome to JSEC Yo Live.
Hi, Sharon.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Sure. I have a very sincere and burning question in my naivety and ignorance of world matters. My question is, and my frustration is, if our country is young, I mean, we're a little over 200 years old, and a lot of countries that these people are coming from would be considered ancient, some of them, but they've been in a nation or you know, an organized country a lot longer than we have. Why, if they can raise thousands upon thousands of people to come to our borders and demand asylum and what have you, whatever their wants or needs are to come into the U.S., why do they not use those numbers and their resources to make a difference in their own country? And what is the difference with America?
Well, the difference of the United States is we are a constitutional republic, and our form of government has been proven over time to be the best. And no matter what complaints people have about the United States, the fact is people want to come here because it's the greatest country in the world. And people, is that American exceptionalism? Yes. And I don't shy away from that. You don't see mass movements like this in other countries. Although in Europe, you do have, you've got a large population and migration into
from North Africa
into France, into Spain.
Well, those
into,
are much better countries than the rest of the
because so every it's the idea that people are trying to go to a place that's better is not a bad thing. It's when it's done in a way that violates the law.
Yeah, and let me just say, I think that you asked that question. What's happening in Central America? And we've seen it in Mexico too, but it's even worse if you can imagine Central America. It's rampant corruption. It's they're supposed to be democracies, but I mean it's you know. Lots of civil war, so actual fighting between factions and paramilitaries, drug wars, cartels. And we're not, we focus so often on Mexico that we forget these other countries. Where MS-13 originated out of is not Mexico, but El Salvador. And yet it's grown. So you're dealing with rampant corruption, a lack of some part of actual, any kind of real government that's in control. And then when governments are in control, they're more like dictatorships. So you see like a Nicaragua type situation, yep. And a Noriega, which by the way was a partnership with drug cartels too. So again, I mean it is a tough region of the world. We sometimes forget that we kind of have our own Middle East right on our southern border. It's just not driven by ideology or religion. So it's not as scary maybe because it doesn't have like a religious belief behind it. But it's pretty much almost as volatile of a region. They just don't have the weaponry. But it's as volatile. It's like we have our own Middle East issue, and like Israel deals with too, right. In our backyard, and oftentimes, not all the time, but sometimes it rears its ugly head, and it reminds you of what you've got to deal with. Yes, on a humanitarian issue. Yes, on many of these governments would welcome, and we do support these governments to try to make them stronger and better governments. But it has been a long-term struggle. You remember that years of the Reagan years.
Yep.
I mean, all that stuff. That it has not changed significantly. There's still a lot of conflict going on there. You go back to the phones. Yeah. Let's go to Travis in Texas on line 5. Travis, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Travis. You're on the air.
Travis, you there? I think we're having some cell phone issues with Travis. So
let's go to Lynn.
Yeah, let's go to Lynn in New Jersey on line 2. Lynn, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Lynn.
Hi, I'm wondering if you could tell me, if the president does shut down the entire border, will the nutcase Ninth Circuit, whoever, would they be able to bring a,
Well, it's not the Ninth Circuit bringing a cause of action, but somebody will go in California and file something, yeah. Harry. They already have. Go ahead.
Absolutely. So I think the caller raises a very good point, which absolutely underscores the fact that the president needs to continue to appoint and confirm conservative judges, particularly in the Ninth Circuit and particularly at the district court level. There is a lot of forum shopping going on with respect to these cases involving international movements of people. And certainly we've seen it play out with the so-called travel ban over the last several years. But clearly, the judiciary is a problem going forward, and we need to solve that, and it will take, unfortunately, a lot of time.
All right, we're coming to the last segment, so you can ask us a question just about on anything. We'll take your calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We'll take your calls. We've got a couple of lines for you. Also, don't forget our matching challenge campaign. Support the work of the ACLJ. You can do that at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. If you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. Back with more in a moment.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Last segment of the broadcast. We take your calls 1-800-684-3110. Jordan and Harry are with me here in our studio at our media center. Dan is in meetings right now in Washington. We'll get an update from him tomorrow. He's given us a couple of emails to let us know what's going on. Serious negotiating is what I would call it.
Yeah, serious negotiation. Mostly on this issue, the budget up for the border wall, which right now is only approved at $1.6 billion. The president wants $5 billion. That's about a third. That's what he's requested. And he's on the record as saying, I would veto this and shut down the – I would – not sign it and shut down the government if I don't get the funding that I'm requesting. And I think what's happening at the border is just magnifying that issue to a greater extent, because people did not expect, I don't think on the left or the right, that this many thousands of people from this first caravan were going to make it to the border, and they have.
Right.
It's 6,000 in Tijuana area, 2,000 in the Mexicali area, and thousands more behind them. So 8,000 now at the U.S. border. Let's go
try Travis again.
To the phone. Yeah, Travis on line 5 is calling in from Texas. Travis, welcome to JSEC Yo Live.
Hi, Travis.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My question was, is there a way to politically, legally, civically go after the American company that is instigating this?
So it's a nonprofit out of California, and the fact is they have the right to advocate, Harry. I mean, it's not. I mean,
absolutely.
I don't see a legal cause of action.
Right. It's very possible, but this is a law professor answer, that the individuals who come to the U.S. border,
the people,
and then they are denied entry, they could argue that they were misled.
Like a fraudulent inducement to contract.
Yeah. Absolutely. So it's possible that some tort has been committed by this group, but in terms of violating U.S. law or some other U.S. policy, I think it's very, very difficult to bring a cause of action against them.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to have you'd have to go find the individual, like that woman who was quoted saying, that they told me. Now, who is they? You'd have to document it. You'd have to be able to show
that person said that we were told that we were going to be able to walk.
Actually did that.
That the borders would be open.
Did Pueblos Sin Fronteras actually put that down in literature, or is there a recording that we can actually identify? Then that person would likely have a cause of action, because the group, though it's a nonprofit in the U.S., would be providing false information and lying to people about getting involved in their work. So I think that is the only legal way. And as Harry said, it's very difficult.
Very, very difficult.
Because you'd have to put all that evidence together. And I have a feeling Pueblos Sin Fronteras is not just like putting that out there. Like, hey, the border's going
to
be
open.
Well,
they'd have to be in the United States to be able to do it, too.
Yeah, and that would be, well, we know that over 500 people have gotten into the United States. So maybe there is somebody who could file a claim if they were in a deportation kind of situation. I think these groups are operating on the margins of legality.
Well, yeah, here's
Pueblos Sin Fronteras group is operating on the margins of legality, because they are advocating actions
that are violative of the law.
Yeah, I mean, you can do that by speech to a point.
Yeah, I mean,
but it's
can't,
not.
This is not
sit-ins.
Yeah, so here's what Mrs. Caballero said. This is one of the people that individuals that came in. She said people had thought they were going to be open gates, but that was a lie. We thought it would be easier. Now I guess I'll just have to wait my turn because I can't go back to my country. So that's where that's coming from. Yeah. All right, let's keep taking calls here at 800-684-3110.
Jim in New York with a great question, I think, and we kind of pointed to it a little bit. But, Jim, welcome to JSEC Yo Live. You're on the air.
Hey, Jim.
Thank you. My question is, how is it possible that a country like Mexico would allow thousands of people to pass through and not stop them? There's no visas. There's no passports, there's no nothing. How is that not a statement for a country to do long before they come near our border? Why aren't they stopping them within their country.
I think the mayor of Tijuana is asking the same question. He said, we got a humanitarian crisis, and the federal government, the Mexican federal government, must be held responsible.
Yeah, on their southern border.
Yes.
I mean, it's their southern border that has got issues with this. I think the answer quickly, Jim, if you go back to the news reports when this initially started, is they were overwhelmed. So they were not prepared for this size caravan.
Are you surprised they kept the
5,000? Yes, I am surprised that we're about 8,000 people within a two-hour, across our U.S. border right now, in two groups, so not just spread out over two-hour drive, but in two groups, 6,000 in Tijuana, 2,000 in Mexicali, in places where the crossover used to be very easy and very normal
because
part of the day.
Before Thanksgiving, we thought that the chance looked like it was dispersing a little bit.
Yeah,
Harry.
We thought the size of the caravan would dissipate. It really hasn't, but I also wonder, and this is pure speculation on my part, whether there have been some payoffs along the way that has, and this has enabled the caravan to remain in place.
Yeah,
because
it's corruption.
But because 7,000 or 8,000 people amassed on the U.S. border, that is a huge number coming up from Guatemala and Honduras. Someone facilitated that.
Yeah, no question. All right, we're going back to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. Let's take call six.
Yep, Andy calling in from Pennsylvania on line six. Andy, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hey. Yeah, thank you for taking my call. You know, it's really sad for here in this country, the most, to me, the most wealthiest, the most generous. Here in Pittsburgh, when that synagogue, when them people were murdered like that, there were people in the city of Pittsburgh and surrounding areas gave support to the Jewish people there. They sent money. They sent whatever else that they might need to comfort them along with our prayers. And this same thing can happen to show the greatness of this nation. And I get mad when I find out our politics won't put that down and get busy and get work, the money that the taxpayers pay our politicians, whether Democrat or Republicans, and won't get alongside this president and work with him.
Well, here's the thing that's going on, and I've said this. I think there is a need, and there has been for decades, for comprehensive immigration reform. That does not address this problem, by the way. There's no comprehensive immigration reform that addresses this problem when you've got 5,000 or 8,000 people trying to basically storm the gates. Okay, that doesn't do it. But what do you do with 12 million people here? You know my position on that. It's been consistent. I believe that you have a pathway to citizenship, or certainly a work permit situation, and maybe a pathway to citizenship. You get these individuals paying tax. You're not shipping 12 million people back. None of that, though, answers this problem. This is a problem of national security. Jay Johnson, President Obama's national security advisor, said that he viewed this kind of caravan situations previously when he was DHS director as a threat to national security, Harry. That's
and
what Jay Johnson said.
And he's absolutely correct. And it's clear that the president has authority within his Article II power under the Constitution, and he also has delegated authority from Congress to protect the U.S. border. And he has taken affirmative steps to do so, and he needs our support in continuing his efforts.
Senator Joni Ernst said this in reaction to what the president's contemplating.
I think that's the intent of the president, is to divert any issues before they actually happen. So, of course, we don't want to see the border closed, but you know what? Safety of our nation comes first.
I think that's exactly and precisely correct. I think that's the way to go. All right, we're going to take the last call on line one here. Jenny Lynn is calling from California. Jenny Lynn, you're on the air. Quickly, please.
Hi.
Hey.
I was wondering, when I build a fence in my home, my yard, I share the cost with my neighbor. Why doesn't Mexico pick up part of the cost of a wall we're going to share?
Yeah, you have a good neighbor. I mean, sometimes you do. Sometimes the neighbors would come together. Maybe both have dogs, both
some
have kids.
Don't.
Others don't. Others would not share the cost. And so you've got the little gaps even in between different fences. But Mexico, economically, not in a situation to put $15 billion into a border wall. I think what would be better is if they actually advocated for it positively. I think that would be enough. But instead, their leaders kind of condemn it. We'll see if the new leadership does as a bad thing. I think they actually supported it as a way for them to stop these people from other countries, not Mexicans, people from other countries trying to go across the border. That would be just as helpful as any resources from Mexico. It's just them supporting this idea that, yes, this helps both countries keep trade moving, keep people moving who are supposed to be there.
Don't forget the matching challenge at the ACLJ. You can participate in that in ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Talk to you tomorrow.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.